kind of things I've heard my whole life, though, is, you know, what we need to solve everything is a plan from me, politician, whoever, and all my buddies. And we'll make sure this will bring people downtown if we just put this in.
Like a lot of cities with dying downtowns, Cleveland is desperate to revitalize its center city. Cleveland's leaders have bet huge amounts of public dollars that big-ticket attractions will spur economic activity. During the 1990s, Cleveland marketed itself as the comeback city and invested hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and stadiums for the Browns, Indians, and Cavaliers.
The city of Cleveland is expert at building big white elephants and calling that economic development. And it doesn't work, because if you look at the stadiums, you notice the buildings around it are empty.
The politicians who champion these corporate welfare projects promised that they would stimulate the local economy. And on the face of it, that's precisely what they appear to do.
They have a baseball game and a football game on the same day. 120,000 some people down there looking for parking, looking for places to eat, tipping the waiters, tipping the valet guys.
Sure, there's more action around the stadiums on game day. But economic studies consistently find that these kinds of publicly funded projects fail to increase the overall economic activity.
You're basically taking the entertainment dollar of a Clevelander and saying they're going to spend it here as opposed to there.
In pro sports, it's common practice for team owners to threaten to relocate if they don't receive public funding. And Clevelanders know all too well what it's like to lose a beloved team. But for a cash-strapped city like Cleveland, the price is too steep.
You take a city whose schools are crumbling, whose roads are crumbling, whose bridges are falling apart, whose economy is in terrible shape, and you're going to subsidize a billionaire team owner? Somehow it doesn't make sense to me.
City officials have not learned their lesson. The city's next redevelopment silver bullet is a new convention center that will require hundreds of millions of additional tax dollars.
I didn't know Cleveland was such a bustling convention city. Take that, Vegas.
Funded by an increase in the county sales tax, the hope is that the Medical Mart Convention Center will attract medical conventions to Cleveland. Lots of people are skeptical that the plan can work.
I personally don't agree with it. Maybe I'm wrong. But Pittsburgh built a convention center, and it's like an anchor dragging them down.
This whole tendency to put what are scarce public funds into convention centers, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, these sort of ephemeral projects, is delusional. Cleveland wasn't a tourist destination in its best days. It's certainly not going to be a tourist destination in its close to worst.
You'd think a city like Cleveland would welcome any company with open arms, especially companies that aren't asking for handouts. But guess what happened when retail giant Walmart came to town?
Wasn't asking for all sorts of new tax breaks or new subsidies. All it wanted was the ability to operate. And the response of the political process and a lot of local political activists was horror.
Political activists put pressure on the city council to change the zoning regulations in a dilapidated, underused section of town called the Steel Yards to prevent the superstore from opening in Cleveland. Dave's Market, a unionized grocery store chain in Cleveland, had the most to lose.
The belief was Dave's would somehow be compromised or unfairly competed against if, God forbid, another store would open, would offer similar products at lower prices.
After some political maneuvering, Walmart ultimately opened up for business in Cleveland. And unless you're a committed anti-Walmart activist, it's hard to argue that Walmart has been anything but good for the city.
There was a line when they first opened up the interviews, thousands of people seeking these jobs, jobs that we'd been told during the debate were going to be low wages and poor quality jobs, but yet thousands of people thought that these jobs were significantly better than the other opportunities they had.
When I come down here, I may go to Home Depot, but most of the time when I come down here, I'm coming to Walmart. They got everything I need and more.
But you like Walmart? You like
the
range
of
goods?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got food, they got electronics. You know, you can come here and do all your shopping in one place.
All I know is every time they open a Walmart, there's an Applebee's right around the corner. That's okay with your care.
And what happened to Dave's Market? Realizing they couldn't compete with Walmart's low prices, the closest store changed its name to Dave's Mercado and now specializes in foods for the growing Latino community in the area. That's good, too. Restrictive zoning regulations are the weapons of choice for the powers that be in Cleveland.
If it's going to be a residential neighborhood, then it's going to be a residential neighborhood. If it's going to be single-family homes, then single-family homes it is. And then, you know, down the street, you can do something else. You can do condos, or you can do a high-rise apartment building or something fancier like that. But that just seems to be the way things work here. It's a very planning-oriented place.
So what's the alternative? Houston is booming in part because the city doesn't have heavy-handed land use policies.
Let's just face it. When you go to a city with zoning, what happens is once the land is zoned, the process to permit, the process to build and get approvals in certain cities in this country can take years.
Houston's freewheeling approach to redevelopment wasn't very popular with the Cleveland lawmakers we talked to.
Houston effectively has no zoning.
Yeah, that's a joke.
You know, in Houston, if we were to adopt that model, you could put a pawn shop mm-hmm. in the middle of a residential neighborhood, mm-hmm. and we don't want that.
Houston certainly does have its quirks. A case in point is the Beer Can House, the lifelong passion of Houston beer drinker and artist John Milkovich.
It's not perfect, believe me, but in a lot of ways, it's allowed Houston to grow more freely.
This is a zoning map of Cleveland, a city with 22 different zoning designations. And this is a land use map of Houston, where people are free to use their land as they please. Cities don't need central planners for redevelopment to happen. In fact, without zoning restrictions, growth happens organically, and that's the kind of growth that creates vibrant ethnic and entrepreneurial communities.
You go to Houston, you drive on Bel Air Road, and it's filled with dim sum places and Vietnamese restaurants.
And spontaneous redevelopment isn't the only benefit of minimal land use regulations.
Part of Houston's sort of free market approach to land use regulation is that we don't try to force all of our commercial skyscrapers downtown. We let them kind of set up wherever they like, and that has led to a clustering of various job districts around the city, sort of a decentralization.
Having multiple business districts eases traffic considerably. But most importantly, Houston's liberal land use policies encourage redevelopment by reducing costs for developers.
Approvals at City Hall and then permitting, I think we can do it in about half the time that you can around other parts of the country. That's flexibility, and that lowers a person's cost.
The top-down approach to redevelopment hasn't worked in Cleveland or anywhere else. It might just be that Cleveland needs more Walmarts and fewer convention centers. And fewer rules telling businesses where they can and cannot set up shop.
Having good sports teams is a good thing. Having people go to cultural destinations is a good thing. But if you don't have economic vibrancy, you're really not answering the fundamental question.
We can all make our own decisions. We all want to live our own kind of life. You don't need a centralized government to tell us what to do all the time and to tell us, you know, what color to paint our house and what we can put where. We'll decide on our own. We'll work it out with our neighbors on our own.